Mary visits Elizabeth, beginning at Luke 1, verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. The visitation of Gabriel the angel gave Mary instruction about her mission in life, which is exactly what heavenly visitors do. They advise through the power of the Holy Spirit, which fills them in heaven so that they have all the knowledge they need to do their jobs on earth. They are his messengers because God loves to use everyone to bring his kingdom to earth. But Mary, I am fairly sure, was so overwhelmed by her mission that she wanted to see the miracle done to Elizabeth, as well as knowing that she was advanced in years, and she wanted to help her. I am sure she longed to share with Elizabeth their mutual missions and have holy companionship over remarkable things that had happened to them. So she made haste. She went quickly. Now here's the perfect setup. Engaged to Joseph, but not having known him, and perhaps even consecrated to him as a virgin, is gone for 3 months and comes back pregnant. I am sure she recognized the repercussions this would have on his faith in her. But nonetheless, she went and cared for her cousin Elizabeth. And so we are given, through this episode, some of the most remarkable messianic prophecies in the Bible. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She called out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." These are the very words we speak in the Rosary. It's the salutation to the Blessed Mother. Straight from the Scripture, guys. But the fruit from Mary's womb was not only Jesus, but the copious fruit he would bear, and the fruit Mary would also bear from heaven, as many would turn to her for intercession, and her continuing role as Mother of the Church would bring forth many children. And I'll go into this in the seventh message on Mary. "Why am I so favored," she said, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came into my ears, the baby leaped inside my womb for joy." So here is a scriptural proclamation that Mary is the mother of the Lord, coming from the mouth of Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. So truly, heaven regards her as the mother of God. Not by authoring God, but by association as the spouse of the Holy Spirit and Father God. She continued to say, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord." Scripture again reveals Mary's enormous faith. She had no impediments to her faith through her bloodline, because she had been prepared by God to carry his son in a vessel untainted by the sins of Adam and Eve, and all subsequent generations at her immaculate conception. And this is a good time to introduce Mary as the second Eve. What Eve lost in the Garden of Eden, Mary recovers by unwavering faith, unwavering obedience, and purity in bringing forth the second Adam, our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Scripture reveals Mary received a confirmation to the visitation of the angel. Elizabeth was indeed pregnant. The Holy Spirit came over Elizabeth, and she prophesied. Mary was blessed among women. Mary was pregnant with Jesus, whom she recognized as her Lord, coming to her. And John the Baptist bore witness to Jesus' presence in Mary by leaping in her womb. Mary was filled with faith, which Elizabeth recognized. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So Scripture reveals through Mary's response that this was no ordinary village girl. In fact, the church fathers affirm that she was presented in the temple at a very early age and grew there in the temple into womanhood. And at the age of 14, the priests found her an appropriate spouse in Joseph, whose almond branch miraculously bloomed. Now, this is Mary's response to Elizabeth's greeting. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has looked at the humble state of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for generations of generations on those who fear him. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down princes from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has given help to Israel, his servant, that he might remember mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. Amen. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her house. Now let's take a deeper look at this beautiful, beautiful prophecy in Scripture. Taking a deeper look into this passage of Scripture, much about Mary is revealed. First of all, she had a prophetic gift. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the author of prophecy, and opened her mouth to praise God for this great miracle. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has looked at the humble state of his servant. Here she acknowledges both that Jesus is her God and her Savior, and is aware of her lowly estate. Not a queen or a princess, but a village girl who was blessed to be brought up in the temple. I think it was great wisdom that in that day, girls were trained in the temple because it would form them holiness so that in their futures as mothers, they could train their children in holiness and bring their male children up in holiness. For behold, she continued, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Now here she declares prophetically that she will stand out as a woman from all generations and be revered. And in the next 3 verses, she declares the reason for that. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Here she takes no credit on herself for that, but rather makes it a point to say how lowly she is. This is quite the opposite of a human queen who would declare her prerogatives and draw honor to herself. His mercy is for generations of generations, she continues, on those who fear him. She proclaims God's faithfulness, not just to her family, but to all generations of men, revealing that she had an acute awareness of mankind, not just the concerns of day-to-day of a village girl. In the following verses, I imagine that she has seen many proud and those of royal birth frequenting temple, which in our day would be an equivalent to visits to a palace of prince, bringing their babies in for circumcision. She had plenty of experiences serving the rich and hearing their conversations, and was acutely aware that they lived in the imaginations of their own heart. not in the reality of God's heart. This is not a degree of wisdom found in a mere 14-year-old girl. And I want to say here, I have nothing against the rich. They have a very important job in the economy of heaven. But very often with all these things come all these distractions and value shifts from the things of God to the things of the earth and of men. But here she's shown a complete detachment from that. It continues, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down princes from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. When the wealthy came to the temple, they made their royal presence known. Being quite full of themselves, they came empty of God and left still emptier. While the little one, the lowly one who would be exalted, as the scripture says, was right there before them. Yet I doubt very much that they could see her any more than the scribes and Pharisees could recognize Jesus in his poor demeanor. She continues, he has given help to Israel, his servant, that he might remember mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring, forever. And here Mary reveals the knowledge of the prophecies of the Messiah and the promises to Abraham. Now, in the 56th verse, it says, Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her house. I can only imagine, as she saw her belly gradually expanding, that she knew when Joseph saw her, he would be devastated. Yet she entrusted herself to the Lord and his providence to inform Joseph. In those days, a woman bearing a child before coming together with her husband was a disgrace and often rejected by the husband and stoned to death. This was a prospect, I am sure, the enemy of our salvation threatened her with. I can even imagine him suggesting she ingest herbs to cause an abortion, or taunting her with nightmares of being rejected by Joseph and stoned to death. The devils never give up in their campaign to destroy everything holy. I am sure they hated her because of her humility, lack of presumption and pride, and wondered if God was going to use her to be their undoing. This is all conjecture on my part, dear ones. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Lord, have you got anything to add? Jesus began, you know you were reading my mind when you said that Satan probably taunted her. He recognized her from an early age because of the angels assigned to her. He was waiting for the birth of the Messiah. So he and all his kingdom were on the alert for a holy girl child. What happened at her conception, when flocks of angels hovered over the proceedings, aroused their suspicion. And from that point on, she was marked as a candidate. Evil knows no boundaries, Claire, and several times they plotted to miscarry this child. Even the witches in the area knew of her and set several traps for her feet and her demise. But because she corresponded to the graces given her at conception, she was highly respondent to her conscience and was careful to avoid anything that had even a whiff of corruption or wrongdoing. It was because of her obedience that she did not get injured. And when he said that, I saw her as a very little child, like 3.5 years old. And she was indoors in the adobe house, very hungry, but having to wait for the supper hour. She was looking at hearth cakes on the table with great longing, but asked her mother, may I have a hearth cake? Who replied, not yet, wait until dinner, which was still a ways off. Even though the enemy tried to tempt her to take one, she completely erased it from her mind and waited patiently. You see, one of those hearth cakes had a spot of mold, which Anne later recognized, and according to Jewish laws of cleanliness, destroyed the whole batch and kept Mary from being poisoned by it. There are times too numerous to mention when her virtue was tested, beloved.
Wow.
But believe me when I tell you, she was continually attacked in dreams, visions, and demonic visitations at night, suggesting she destroy what was growing in her womb. Just like I have done with you, she had to be perfected in virtue and obedience. Because later on in life, my very survival depended on it. There was one incident where an elderly witch posing as a loving friend in the community brought freshly baked cakes to Anne under the guise of a blessing, but they were heavily laced with poison. Both of them, both Mary and Anne, destroyed the gift immediately, sensing danger, even though they looked very appetizing. I cannot tell you how many times Satan attempted to take her life. Even in the temple, there were some unscrupulous individuals that thought to molest her, but they were stopped by her angels. Time and time again, she faced multitudes of dangers and always, always made the right decision, no matter how tempting the invitation to do wrong appeared. She was quite detached from her flesh, which closed many a door of opportunity to harm her. Her conscience was exceedingly well developed, and she knew that nothing good could come of disobedience, so she avoided it like the plague, even when it made no sense to her and cost her a great deal. Still, she hearkened to my spirit and did not once give way to the temptations. And it had to be so, just as I have allowed many trials in your lives to cultivate virtue, my dear ones. So in her life, she was sorely tried because of the importance of her mission. So let me say at this point, she knows well how to comfort those who are being tempted. And you couldn't possibly have a better advocate to pray for you. And if you're extremely blessed to be able to see and even converse with in times of trial. Now, I'm sure the Lord doesn't mean in replacement for him. Mary is a friend. God is our creator. And Jesus is our creator. So this is a friendship relationship that he's talking about. Please don't put words and intentions into my mouth. God is God and Mary is a creature. Think deeply on these things, heart dwellers, Jesus continued. You have been given an enormous gift, a gift worth so much that Satan has done everything to discourage you from going anywhere near it. Please begin to enter into this gift and use it. Those who come under Mary's covering reach perfection of heart much more swiftly than those without her motherly covering. It was never intended by me that you should have a single parent family with no mother, no siblings to offer consolation, instruction, and prayers on your behalf. That is just one small facet of why I appeared before the apostles with Moses and Elijah. I broke the distortion and misuse of the injunction that you shall not consult the dead, because I was indeed consulting with those who had lived, but were now still living in heaven. Just as I did then, it is possible for you to do now with my mother, with me and with the others in the great cloud. Do not waste this precious gift. And finally, as concerns the rapture, my brides, you are approaching the closing moments of this chapter in your lives. Be prepared. Do not live for yourselves. Live to do good to others and pull back from earthly pursuits. Spend your time with me, cultivating your relationship with me. And one thing I will tell you about your mother in heaven is when you commit to a relationship with her, she guards you against deception. She knows the real thing from the imposter. And people who have a devotion to Mary will not be easily fooled by the Antichrist or the false prophet. If you could see Nibiru in plain sight right now, you would not delay your conversion for one more second. The problem is that they are blocking the view because they want you caught unaware, so you will die when it comes so close to Earth. This is part of the plan to get rid of 2/3 of the Earth's population. And for you who are working for the elite, do you think they care about your family, your brothers, your sisters, aunts and uncles, or even your mother and father? Do you really think they've made provision for you and your relatives or your pets? You are serving a ruthless taskmaster who will tell you whatever you want to hear to deceive you into working for them. And when the moment comes, they will close the doors to their underground cities with this excuse: I'm so sorry, there's just no more room for you and your family. They will lead you along to use you, and if you are Muslim, they will use you to do their dirty work and then shut the door when Nibiru is bringing this planet into dire situations. I will never forsake you or abandon you. Give your life to me, and I will protect you and bring you into heaven. I do not lie, but the ones you work for do not know how to tell the truth, because the truth is not in them. They are deceivers like their father, Satan. If you come to me, I will receive you, and at death you will have nothing to fear. I will be with you and take you to myself. And some of you I will protect, and you will not die, but be spared supernaturally and live to see my return. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I love you because I brought you forth from your mother's womb. You have turned away from me because you did not know me, but knew evil men pretending to know me, and they wounded you deeply. I will pour fresh oil on your wounds and take you to myself because I love you. How do you know this? Because I died on the cross to prove to you this love. Come to me. I receive you.